gonna get you too. Another one bites the dust.
Welcome back on this Wednesday, the 8th day of May, 2024. I'm your host, Mark Hall, and as the slightly different intro today might suggest, at least one more has finally, thankfully, bitten the dust. Trouble is, that means that not only have the distractions been kicked up, they've gone to warp speed. So let's start with the way Stream Media's top distraction, but I won't spin it the way they will. We'll just cut to the chase and tell the honest truth. In the lawless New York sham trial of Porno on Parade, and I'm trying to be as kind as I can, the centerpiece of the trial is a harlot. Hooker, prostitute, whore is probably the most blunt way to put it. The idea is not only someone who'll sell themselves, sell out others, and certainly lie for money, in more ways than one. They're generally inclined to be solicitous, for the right motivation, of course, and salacious as well. And no, in case you're curious, I'm not talking about Stormy Daniels, although the definition certainly applies. I'm talking about the whore in the black robe. And ultimately, this whole New York sham trial is an insult to honest ladies of the evening. But when the you-know-what hit the fan and another one of their show trials bit the dust, what do? Call out the whores and serve up some porno for the press.
The great Oz has spoken.
Oh,
pay no attention to that man behind the curtain.
Yeah, let's talk about sex positions and other salacious BS that has nothing to do with anything, rather than a criminal persecutor who's trying to gang rape the rule of law. Just like what Stormy Daniels and the judge's daughter will do to the truth, if the price is right. So let's back up a minute and talk about what so much of the press is so anxious that you not hear. Like, did you know that Satan's spawn, Jack Smith, is a liar and a traitor, and the truth just keeps coming out? He got caught, again, along with the criminal FBI, trying to undermine an election and, yeah, tamper with evidence and obstruct justice in the process. Gee, what else is new? Oh yeah, he lied to the court too, and that seems to have pissed off an actual judge. Now the Ministry of Truth has an even bigger problem than normal. How are they going to spin this? And how long is it going to take? And will the American people finally catch on? Will Congress even wake up and do their jobs? Well, don't count on that last one for sure, but I guess there's still hope. Pray about it, folks. But even the Daily Mail had to come out with a story this week and admit that the FBI has been accused, do you think, of altering or manipulating the so-called classified documents that were planted or found at Mar-a-Lago. We've known it was a trap or a setup. To call it a double standard is a gross understatement. And we've known that it's a persecution and a sham trial rather than an actual court of law. But by Tuesday afternoon, things were starting to hit the fan. House Republicans, says the Daily Mail story, are investigating whether or not Donald Trump's classified documents investigation was tainted, gee, do you think, following revelations that the FBI, and here's a shocker, folks, tampered with evidence. And special scumbag, or counsel, Jack Smith and his team overseeing the persecution have been forced to admit that the boxes of files recovered from that raid at Trump's Mar-a-Lago home were altered and or manipulated, and basically they lied to the court, the Congress, and the American people. And in a letter obtained by the Daily Mail to the Department of Justice, House Judiciary Chairman Jim Jordan of Ohio said he had grave concerns about the department's, quote, commitment to impartial judgment. Trump's legal team has long been asking for recusals of all these different scumbags for all kinds of obvious reasons, and they've asked for dismissals as well. And while that didn't happen, Judge Eileen Cannon on Tuesday afternoon indefinitely postponed Jack Smith's sham show trial after he admitted to being guilty of worse crimes than Trump is being pilloried for, and she vacated the May 20th trial date. So you know there are other machinations coming. Again, perhaps understating the case, Jordan's letter to the DOJ alluded to a pattern of, quote, violating ethical norms in their persecution of Donald Trump. Quick aside here, folks. You'll know that Congress is finally starting to feel the heat and maybe even having pangs of conscience when the subpoenas start flying. Yeah, don't hold your breath. That might require Mike Johnson to find a backbone or even a Johnson. I'm starting to think that might be about as rare as Stormy Daniels or Judge Marchand turning down a trick. I did see a quote from Donald Trump commenting on the show trial, and about all he could say, because remember, he's being gagged by these same whores, was, it's a national disgrace, it's a disgrace, it's a disgrace. And yep, folks, that's true, and it's a gross understatement. And finally, there's this. Remember the scumbag from Atlanta and her paid gigolo? Judicial Watch has now asked the Superior Court of Fulton County, Georgia, to declare a default judgment against Fannie Willis after she refused to respond to their lawsuit related to communications she had with the aforementioned scumbag Jack Smith and the sham January 6th committee. Can you catch a general stench here, folks? Jim Jordan's asking for those documents, too. What do you bet they'll end up classified and probably sitting in some garage next to a senile presidential imposter's Corvette? Meanwhile, though, said Judicial Watch President Tom Fitton, I think this is the first time in Judicial Watch's 30-year history that a government official failed to answer an open records lawsuit in court, he said, which further shows Ms. Willis has something to hide, gee, do you think, about her collusion with the Biden-Fuhrer regime and Nancy Pelosi's Congress on her unprecedented and compromised Get Trump prosecution. And if you wonder how the waste stream is going to keep public attention off of all of this, well, the answer is all over the headlines. And I've already alluded to it with no small amount of disgust, but if you didn't catch it because you didn't turn on a TV, it goes something like this, and I won't go into the details. Stormy Daniels testified in one of those cases, you know, the so-called hush money case where there's no actual crime, and if there was, the statute of limitations already expired. So, since we got nothing else, let's bring out the porn star. And the testimony was so lurid, it almost shocked even that whore in the black robe. The Daily Mail said she trotted out all of her porn star acting skills. But the judge really drew the line when it came to talking about penis specifics. Good grief, folks. This judicial system is the laughingstock of the world. But you know it's about making sure people don't pay attention to what should be the real headlines. The criminals who are above the law, and how effective they've been at literally destroying not only the rule of law, but the entire, once at least, constitutional republic. And just to put a quick exclamation point on that, yeah, this is disgusting too, Alvin Bragg, you know, that scumbag, and his lead prosecutor, another scumbag, Susan Hoffinger, who questioned sick Stormy Daniels on Tuesday, donated to Joe Biden, the Democrats, and Act Blue. How's that for no conflict of interest and no concept of equal justice under the law? Oh, and if you thought I was going to talk about the other scumbag and top prosecutor, Matthew Colangelo, yeah, he's just as scummy and was paid by the DNC for political consulting, as well as being a so-called top DOJ official. Conflicts of interest are to this regime what those little teardrops tattooed on the faces of MS-13 murderers are to a different set of organized crime lords. Okay, well, come to think of it, maybe they aren't that different after all. This next one I'm sure will be obscured in the smoke, but it's just another example of why it is that the deep state doesn't want their puppet to actually go off script and speak without a teleprompter and without somebody on hand to put the hook to him when his drugs start to wear off or when he poops his diapers, figuratively or literally. Because he tends to let things like this, the actual truth, slip right on out. Referring to the border invasion, although he hadn't yet let that slip, he said, quote, it's even a bigger influx now in terms of Hispanic voters, Hispanic citizens. What? Even when he corrected it, he still let the truth slip.
There is a large influx. It's even a bigger influx now in terms of Hispanic voters, Hispanic citizens who want to become citizens. So it's just enormously important.
Oh, yeah. It's enormously important that you see through this. And furthermore, I guess while we're talking about illegals, fraud, dead voters, and all the stuff that is intended to happen all over again come November the 5th of this year, this piece fits. Over 200,000 people, or maybe fake people or dead people, says a piece from the Gateway Pundit, are on the North Carolina voter rolls, but they're not legitimate. Either they're missing Social Security numbers, and almost certainly many of them, if not most of them, are ineligible to vote. Even though it's arguably unconstitutional, something called the 2002 Help America Vote Act, or HAVA, required states to verify information of newly registered voters, whether they're legal or not, for federal elections, according to the Social Security Administration. These requirements went into effect on January 1st, 2004, and it requires states to verify the would-be voter's driver's license number against the MVA database. And remember, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're actually a lawful citizen anyway. The system, says the piece, is meant to ensure that prospective voters are actually eligible, yet, at least in one case that we now know of, but there are many, many others, and you know that, North Carolina, hundreds of thousands of registrations have made it into the system without verifying information, according to Jim Womack of the North Carolina Election Integrity Team. We said, quote, we now have hundreds of thousands of ineligible, duplicate, deceased, and non-citizen registrants bloating our voter list, the breeding ground for election fraud. Oh, wow. And here, maybe you thought it was hackable electronic vote rigging, or maybe it's just all of the above. Just last month, the Gateway Pundit adds, they reported evidence by fractal quantum technology that many of the illegals who've invaded the country since the Biden-Fuhrer regime takeover back in 2021 are being registered to vote in various so-called crucial swing states like Wisconsin and Michigan. So if the fraud was bad before, they've increased it this time around. Here's another once reputable and actually admirable organization that has pretty well gone down the tubes. Finally, at least kind of coming to terms with it and making an admission via a name change, the Boy Scouts of America is officially no more. Of course, they started catering to pedophiles years ago and paving the way for transgenderism by welcoming girls into the Boy Scouts too. But the stories say the Boy Scouts of America now is finally changing its name, good riddance, for the first time in its 114-year history in a bid to boost inclusion. They're dealing with flagging membership, too. In spite of opening the doors to all kinds of things that once would have violated the Boy Scout oath, the once reputable organization is now just calling itself Scouting America. And I wonder why they don't just cut to the chase and call themselves Groomers Scouting America. At least one more today here from the Lawfare Front. San Diego, says a piece from Ryan McMakin via the Epoch Times, Zero Hedge, and others, is suing a company called CNC Milling Technologies. It seems that you peons aren't allowed to have mills or other high-tech manufacturing either, alleging that they're flouting unconstitutional so-called laws in California having to do with the non-existent made-up concept of ghost guns. And arguably, folks, these so-called ghost gun laws, if you actually read the Constitution, aren't really laws at all, but they do flout the Bill of Rights. The lawsuit, filed on behalf of the county by gun control legal advocacy group Giffords Law Center, alleges that the Coast Runner CNC machine, marketed by Coast Runner Industries, Inc., is simply a rebrand of another CNC machine previously developed and marketed by Defense Distributed and Ghost Gunner, Inc., where gun rights activist and technologist Cody Wilson has been working for years against the unconstitutional infringement efforts of the Bill of Rights haters by expanding access to the tools necessary for actual Americans to produce arms for their own defense at home. He's used his nonprofit, Defense Distributed, as a platform, says the piece, to pioneer technological advancements in the manufacture of firearms, or at least projectile-based self-defense weapons, using both 3D printing and CNC, or computer numerical control technology. Individuals, of course, if we had a constitution, cannot be prohibited under even unconstitutional federal rules and regulations from producing whatever the heck they want to call these things for their own personal use with their own two hands. Because, after all, you can't even make the bogus claim that there's commerce somehow involved, or dishonest weights and measures. But gun control proponents insist that slaves don't have rights anyway, and in several states they've sought to prevent the proliferation of something they've made up, which they call ghost guns, as you know. Anything that is privately made, and therefore doesn't have a Big Brother-issued mark or serial number. And while those who hate the Constitution and Bill of Rights and the whole concept of peons being able to say no to them by physical force if necessary have attempted to stop the spread of anything that they label, well, a ghost gun or anything else they'll come up with later, Mr. Wilson and Defense Distributed have worked to ensure home manufacturing of firearms or any other kind of weaponry remains accessible with the development of its ghost gunner line of CNC machines, i.e., they're fighting Big Brother's tyranny by empowering people with technology. But, as you may recall, back in 2022, the Democrat supermajority, the Communist legislature, and the People's Republic passed so-called legislation making it illegal. I'm not going to use the term unlawful because they can't make law in violation of the Constitution to sell or transfer any CNC milling machine that has the sole or primary function, oh, and yeah, guess who decides, of manufacturing something that they don't want you to have. Unless, of course, you are a federally licensed firearms manufacturer or importer. Anyway, says the San Diego lawsuit, cutting to the chase, the Coast Runner and the Ghost Gunner share more than just similar rhyming names. Coast Runner is, in fact, Ghost Gunner with a new coat of paint, says the San Diego County lawsuit. And, of course, folks, their lawsuit is just an unconstitutional gang rape of the Bill of Rights with a new coat of paint. Lawfare, of course, is another great way to put it. For his part, Mr. Wilson says that California doesn't have the nerve to ban CNC outright, and that as a result, Defense Distributed remains in compliance with what now passes for law in California. He told NTD News in an emailed statement, quote, defense distributed follows California law with great effort. The state doesn't have the nerve to ban CNC, so they ban speech about the technology, unquote. And he offered no further comment on the lawsuit as he and his legal team prepared to engage in battle with the communists on the left coast. Given that yet another high-profile attempt at lawfare or tyranny by undermining the rule of law has at least started to bite the dust today, I want to spend a few minutes with a piece from Sundance at the Conservative Treehouse, also known now as the Last Refuge, entitled Jack Smith's Lawfare Scheme is Under Scrutiny and Fraying, which is good news. And those he begins who understand the construct of lawfare understand its purposes and intents. Lawfare is an outcome of a radical activist pivot point that happened back during the Obama regime. And prior to that, the radicals tearing down government defended the transparently guilty, along with their allies and fellow traveling communists. Those who were arrested for violence that the radicals supported were defended, excused, and their activity justified. Now, they still do that, folks, if it's about terrorism in the streets or an invasion from the south or basically just getting away with things that allow them to perpetrate their corruption and their evil on the American people. But after the election of Obama, as first noted by author Jack Cashel, something clearly changed. The radicals reversed their position, and instead of merely defending the transparently guilty, the Obama-aligned usurpers, now with actual power at their fingertips, began accusing and convicting and ultimately destroying the transparently innocent. Sundance calls it the Anger Games era of Barack Hussein Obama, a.k.a. Barry Sotero, Barry Sabarco, and so forth, where the radicals began attacking the innocent and using their allies in the media and now in the courts as part of their attack narrative. People like George Zimmerman, Darren Wilson, the Baltimore Six, and etc. The list is really long, he says. We tracked them all with detailed research at the time. However, the theme amid every story remained the same. Isolate, ridicule, and marginalize the transparently innocent. Target them, in other words, and make them appear guilty, and then throw the book at them, kill them if you have to. When you think about the construct during the 2016 election, he says, and the entirely fraudulent Trump, Russia, Russia, Russia collusion narrative, you see exactly the same theme continued. Stand back and elevate yourself, and you see this era of using completely false accusation has been transposed over various rigged elections in the past, and certainly the one upcoming. Essentially, accused the target, Donald J. Trump, of something he was transparently innocent of doing. And after they lost the 2016 elections, the radicals didn't stop. In fact, they doubled down. They continued constructing entirely false lawfare stories with the intention to frame the transparently innocent. And this approach, he knows, had two benefits. One, radical lawfare maintained the attack position, blocking any reversal of Obama policy, and that would be O'Biden policy nowadays through the new puppet. And two, the lawfare process covered up their own unlawful, and I would add this word, treasonous activities. Using lawfare constructed by Maine Justice and the FBI, the Crossfire Hurricane investigation became the special counsel Mueller investigation, which became impeachment investigations, which became the Durham investigation, an associated cover-up, which became the January 6th Knot investigation, which now has become the Jack Smith investigation. All of it is and was one long lawfare operation. And now in the selective persecution involved with the classified documents case, SICK, Florida federal judge Eileen Cannon has noted clearly that the lawfare construct in this fraudulent legal case is pretty darn transparent. In practice, he notes, lawfare is about manipulating the narrative of a manufactured legal controversy or premise, and sometimes even actual laws themselves, in order to change public opinion about the target of the lawfare action. That's why it really doesn't have to have anything to do with the law. What matters is the PR. Judge Eileen Cannon clearly sees this playing out in the background of the case. And here he quotes NBC, which notes that the judge has granted Donald Trump a delay in the classified documents so-called trial by pushing back a court deadline on the case. On Monday, and you know this, she temporarily stayed the May 9 deadline for Trump and his two co-defendants in the federal case to submit court filings. I'll skip over some of the details here. But what the story does say is that Cannon didn't offer any explanation as to why that May 9th SIPA deadline has been indefinitely postponed, other than saying that a, quote, order-setting second set of pretrial deadlines or hearings needs to follow. The obvious subtext here, folks, is whether or not the lawfare leftists can cram this down American throats before the October surprise time frame. And if not, you probably already know this, they'll have to go to Plan B. Anyway, says Sundance, NBC may pretend not to know why Judge Cannon has changed the hearing date. However, the rest of us, along with journalist Julie Kelly, can clearly see why Cannon is slowing down the process simultaneously to her putting increased sunlight on the, absolutely stench-filled case. Recently, the special counsel was forced to admit that they staged those pictures that you no doubt saw in order to slant the media during the raid at Mar-a-Lago. And again, the purpose of lawfare, he notes, is to create the optics of unlawful action by the target in order to manipulate public opinion. Therein lies the motive for staging the images under false pretenses. And then, of course, they lied to the court about it to boot. Here's how Julie Kelly covered it. Jay Bratt, who was the lead DOJ prosecutor sick on the so-called investigation at the time, and now is assigned to what else? Smith's team described the photo this way in his August 30 response in 2022 to Trump's special master lawsuit. 13 boxes or containers contain documents with classification markings, and in all, over 100 unique documents with classification markings were seized. Certain of these documents had colored cover sheets, he said, indicating their classification status. And then he gives some examples. And note, says Julie Kelly, the DOJ's clever wordsmithing. However, they did not accurately describe the origin of those cover sheets in what must be considered not only an act of doctoring evidence, but willfully misleading the American public into believing the former president is a criminal and thus a threat to national security. The agents, sick, involved in the raid, attached those cover sheets to at least 7 of the files when they staged the photo. And there are lots of other related allegations, like obviously tampering with evidence, changing the order of the documents here and other things, and even destroying what was called the chain of custody. But, says Julie Kelly, before the official cover sheets were used as a placeholder, agents apparently used them as props. FBI agents took it upon themselves to paperclip the sheets to the documents, something that was evident given the uniform nature of how each cover sheet is clipped to each file in the photo, then laid them on the floor and snapped a picture for political posterity, oh yeah, and for the press to consume like ravenous wolves, and do their deep state-inspired jobs. And while it's, of course, best to be cynical here, there are a lot of reasons, says Sundance, to be optimistic that Judge Cannon might finally dismiss this ridiculous lawfare case. But if she doesn't, one of the reasons she may elect to keep the case going is simply allow more sunlight to illuminate how the case was actually constructed. Because as more and more comes out, it's more and more of an embarrassment to the criminal deep state. The use of lawfare, concludes Sundance, requires lies, manipulation, dishonesty, deceit, and, of course, a lying press to cover it all up. But once you put on a sunlight on a lawfare operation, the fraud starts to collapse. And he notes, just ask people like George Zimmerman, Darren Wilson, and the Baltimore Six. And if they don't kill him outright, folks, or at least continue to gag him, I have no doubt Donald Trump will eventually try to talk about it, too. Sadly, we're out of time for today, so that'll do it for now. Thanks for joining us, and may Yahuwah bless you and yours.